Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. We're coming at you Sunday, so about 24 hours after the dust has settled here, fellas. Obviously, Duke went down to Chapel Hill, dropped a tough one, you know, 93-84. We're definitely going to talk about some of the things that went a little wrong there on that one. I guess what we'll start here, just some positives, right? McCain was really good, 23 points, 11 boards, again, crashing the boards for us. Flip had 22 and 5. Roach gave us 20. You read that off, you kind of think that we would have won, maybe even when going away. Didn't quite happen that way. Shu, let me just toss it to you first here. We're going to really talk thematically. Just out of the gate, it seemed like Carolina kind of came out with a little bit of FU in them, a little bit of energy. We kind of joked on the last pod a little bit. Raul said, you know, there's some guys here that's going to take what happened last year kind of personal. Of course it was the dude that wasn't on the team that took it the most personal. That was pretty infuriating, but just what'd you think right out of the gate there? It seemed like Carolina had something that we just really couldn't find or match the entire night.
Yeah. Right off the bat. I mean, I think RJ hit the first shot of the game, kind of like a little push shot from the baseline. Matter of fact, I think he scored his only four in the first half, you know, pretty early on. So, the game plan being, you know, obviously to limit RJ, and right off the bat, you know, he's already scoring. So I'm thinking, okay, it's, you know, they're fired up for it. Obviously we've beat them there the last two times we've played there. So, you know, these guys want to win this one in the worst way, I'm sure.
And of course we tried to run with them, which wasn't really great. We said last pod that, you know, I thought that we would have been better trying to do what we did last year and kind of control the pace and really let them kind of dictate, you know, how we wanted to play on them versus falling into that trap. Before I jump into it, Raul, any just initial thoughts you had on the just energy, the excitement, the crowd was into it? That's always the case, but it just seemed like they came out of the gate. And this is a theme again with Duke here, just at a different level than we were.
Yeah, well, first of all, to your point about controlling the pace, I know that's not really what you asked, but it's hard to do that when you have so many live ball turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, which kind of speaks to their effort level. Like they had 9 steals on us, and those are all led to runouts. And then, yeah, to the point about them being fired up, like they were on every loose ball. This is something that like Shire talked about in his press conference after. And he seemed really frustrated about that. He actually said, you know, we scored fine. Our offense is fine. We can score on anyone, but the defensive effort wasn't there. The loose balls, he said, they resulted in like maybe 10 to 20 points. And it really depends on like how you count that. I would not be surprised. I mean, they had 19 points off of turnovers, but then there's all the points off the loose balls that weren't necessarily turnovers on top of that.
Yeah, 2 of them led to threes, right? Yeah. One was that Ryan three in the corner. Another one was an Ingram three
in the other corner.
In the other corner. So yeah, that was an issue. I mean, let's just talk about the defense. You mentioned it there off the tip. we allowed 93 points, which obviously that's the most this season. It's the most under John, just period, right? And we had some rough games last year. State started 20-2 or whatever it was against us. They scored 84. Now they beat us by 24. But like the defense, I think, is just not where it needs to be. It's really trending like sub 50, probably. Like if we looked in just the last couple of weeks, it might be really bad. But then again, I mean, at VT, it was good. So it could just be a function of the matchup, the function of the pace. I guess let's get into it here. You allow 93 points. That's problematic, right? I mean, that's almost their entire point total from last year against us. Shoe, you tracking this up to the effort, to the energy, to the revenge factor? Is it something schematic? Are we really too small here? Like, where do you take it from here?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's matchup, like you said, but to, you know, in this game, Ingram hits 5 threes. That's the most he's hit all season. He hasn't hit more than, I think he's hit 4 several times, but 5 hasn't done that. I don't think he's done that in his career entirely. So, and a lot of those were just kind of like we were talking about loose ball scrambles. They get a loose ball that we could have easily corralled, or maybe not easily, but a little bit more effort and hustle. And maybe that's just a part of us playing a lot of minutes, like some guys a lot of minutes and being tired. And this game, there was what the first whistle wasn't until like 8 minutes or 12 minutes in, right? I think the first TV timeout was like under 8 minutes. It seemed like
we didn't shoot a free throw the entire first half.
Right.
One, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a bit problematic.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, but 93, that's and look, Carolina, they can put points up. They hit 9 threes, you know. That's not going to help us.
To be fair, they had I think 85 points with 90 seconds left, and then we did foul them a lot at the end there. So it's a bit worse than it looks, cuz we were trying to extend the game, cuz you know, at that point we're down what, 8. So we had a chance in theory, not a good chance, but yeah, there was some fouling at the end for sure. That kind of boosted the free throw discrepancy as well.
Do you think any of it came to like fatigue? And I know I hate the tired legs thing, but like we didn't play super deep in this game. Foster only plays 19 minutes. Young only plays 10. I mean, Flip at 31 is not that bad, but you got Mark at 37, Roach at 37, McCain at 38. You take anything from that of not having anyone else to throw at them?
A bit, but if you look at their minutes, I mean,
they did the same thing.
It's exactly the same. Yeah.
Yep. Right.
And somebody with like 20, somebody with 10, and somebody with 4, you know?
And I was going to say those were like, particularly on Roach and McCain there, those were two of our best performers. You know, maybe not so much on the defensive end, but if they have the legs enough to hit jumper after jumper, you'd think they could play some defense too.
Yeah, I mean, it's I didn't see where we were just getting like torched in ball screens or just unable to like stop penetration. It really just to like one, they did kind of what we were talking about on the last podcast of, you know, Baca has been a marginal role player all year, it seems like, from them. The dude hasn't scored, I think, 20 plus points going back. You have to go back to November.
Yep.
And it looked just like the Baycott that we've seen the last few years, where he was the hub. He was running down the floor. They were posting him up, and he makes 10 out of 13 shots, right? And like if that happens, we're a little bit in trouble, because I thought the defense on RJ Davis by Proctor, and we can talk about Proctor separately, but I thought defensively, especially in the first half, we did a phenomenal job on RJ, right? Like he had that one that you're talking about where he had to streak all the way down the floor just to get a little floater up. But we weren't really letting him catch it in good spots. We weren't really letting him get into a rhythm. We were trying to keep his eyes off the rim, like everything that we wanted to do. But you just can't have Baycott and Ingram having career nights, right? If just one of them does it, we're fine. Like, I think that's what I said of, if Ingram has the big game and RJ has his 25 and Ingram comes in with 28, like we'll probably lose. We check RJ, but then Baycott, here he comes to just have like a 25, 10, and 5 game. And Ingram looked like he probably could have got 30 if he wanted it, like just the way that he was doing it. I don't know. It's frustrating, man. But I thought our guards played okay defensively on their guards. What did y'all make about that? It seemed like it was more the wings and the post that let us down.
Yeah, I mean, you go by KenPom, Baycott had a 147 offensive rating. It's the second best of the season. Ingram had a 158, which is his highest ever. It's only the fifth time he's ever scored 20 or more points, and this is his third year playing, right? So you just didn't see that quite coming. You know, I thought it was going to be Ryan, if anybody. I thought Ryan had the ability to break out, and we kind of – I think he ended up with nine, but he didn't do a lot, especially until that corner three. That was kind of a backbreaker there, though.
Yeah,
So, yeah, I mean, but as far as the guards go, I mean, we let Elliott – that was kind of the game plans, kind of give him the Mark Mitchell treatment, and he went 0 for 6 from 3. We just went under screens the whole night. He got it loose in that kind of that last 3 or 4 minutes of the first half where they kind of made that push. He was kind of head spearheading that, and that's really kind of the difference of the game in that little run the last 2 minutes. That's what we were separated by at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's disappointing because, you know, we talked about it in the preview of like we wanted Bacot to be guarding Flip, and we thought there'd be maybe an advantage there because of Flip's perimeter ability. And Flip did not have a bad offensive night by any means, but he gets worked on the glass and he gets scored on over and over again. You know, and it's just like, I swear, I've made this joke before, but like, I swear, Duke could be putting out prime Shaquille O'Neal, and they could be putting out like their third string big, and somehow that big would outplay ours.
Yeah. I guess some things don't change in that regard. Yeah. But it's the rebounding, too, right? From Flip.
Five rebounds.
Flip, yeah. And he had four defensive rebounds. Mark has five defensive rebounds. Jared has nine. Like those two guys.
Yeah. We ended up kind of equaling them on the glass, actually. Like, overall, it wasn't a disaster. It's just a lot of those rebounds were over Flip.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a bit problematic there. And I mean,
1 for 6 from the 3-point line, like just wasn't able to really cash those in. And that's where a lot of his advantage is, you know?
Yeah, he's so streaky with that. Like he'll have 3 weeks where he shoots 50% from three and then 3 weeks where he just won't make one.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we can talk about the two small stuff separately, but if anyone was going to do that last night, like it probably should have been Ingram as the one doing it, right? Like, because that's the thing that I don't know really how we solve too much of these bigger wings that are just able to shoot over the top of our guys, right? Like we saw Henson have the huge night. We see Ingram have a huge night. I'm sure there's one or two other ones in there that I'm not thinking of right now that are just able to shoot over some of our guards. I mean, we were losing Ingram a few times, but a couple of those, like you let a guy get hot and then you just pay for it the whole night, right? Like you just pay for that the rest of the way through.
Maybe I defend Mitchell too much, but I didn't really, I might be totally wrong here, but I didn't feel like a lot of those Ingram shots were necessarily on Mitchell. It was like either our guards getting out of position or the somebody like McCain ending up on Ingram and he just can't contest it. And that's not really his fault.
Yeah, no, one of them, Cadeau, drove and sucked McCain in and he kicked it out to him.
Yeah.
And McCain just, you know, he got back to contest it. Yeah. But I mean, what was he? Is he really going to? As a matter of fact, I think the one in the corner that they hit off the Cadeau missed a wide open three. Again, another loose ball rebound. We don't get it. Ends up in Cadeau's hands. He flips it to Ingram in the corner. He hits a three. And I think that was like when it went 41-33 or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I think, you know, there's a lot that we could probably break down from it. But at the end of the day, we still only lost by 9 despite all of this, right? We had the 19 points off the turnovers for that. Well, they had the 19 points off the turnovers. They get big gains from Bacot and Ingram. A lot of chest thumping from Carolina fans, and I'm watching this thinking, you know, like outside of a 3-minute segment, this was played pretty evenly for the most part, right? Like they got that 10-point spread on us
there in that 3-minute segment in the first half, and then we just couldn't get over the hump.
Yeah. Well, I think let's talk about that for just a second, right? Because I think we're talking about it offline a little bit, but I think you said it was what, like 22-22 with like 8 minutes to go. And then the wheels just kind of fell off there for us for a little bit. They ended up pushing it to 10. Again, the turnovers were killing us right there. But then after that, it's like we pretty much played them even, right? We're tied. They go up 10. The second half, we were just never really able to chip in a way that threatened the lead. We get it to 7, they'd push to 15, we get it to 8, they'd push to 13, and we just kind of ping-pong back and forth. It sucks to lose it like that, though. But
yeah, I mean, we had that chance. What was it, the hook and hold they called on RJ there down towards the end, where we basically could have got 5 points out of it.
And get one.
We got one, yeah. Flip goes 1 or 2 at the line, and then the inbound pass
Tyrese went awry. Just throws the ball away. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Is that on Tyrese, or is it on, or, you know, Flip? Did Flip move past it? I mean,
yeah. I mean,
either way, you can't have that happen. You know, right. You just can't have that happen and try to win a game. So
right. And there's the 50-50 ball thing. That was clearly like an effort, energy level thing. Some of that's luck too. The turnover thing, 11 turnovers isn't like some astronomical number.
No, not really.
Like, typically we're closer to like probably 5 to 8 turnovers typically, because we've been really, really good at that. But to have 11 and for them to get 19 points off of that seems to me like, man, that's just really high. If you get a normal margin there, it's fine.
Right. No, the problem was that 9 of them were steals. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, 5 from Ingram, right? Like,
if you take 4 of those and replace them with charges, it's like the game's probably different, because yes, they get the ball back, but it's against a set defense.
Yep.
Yeah. Ingram was just like blowing us up, man.
Foster got kind of trapped and picked the ball up and was just, you know, just need to make a little bit of a lob pass over Cadeau, who's not big, and just, you know, sailed it over Flip's head, and then Ryan gets it, runs it out for an and-one. You know, that's the kind of stuff we did that a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, to your point, it's still pretty ridiculous. I mean, that's what, 1.7 points per turnover there. So let's say they score only 11 points off of our 11 turnovers. Then it's basically a tie game.
Yeah. I mean, that completely changes it. Yeah.
I think that's what's frustrating about the whole thing. You shoot 50%, you have 3 guys score 20 points, you only have 11 turnovers, and you still lose by almost double digits.
Yeah. And like, it felt more than just the 9. Yeah, really. Totally. It really did. Like, it felt. And, you know, I will say this. I will give a lot of credit to the guys, because this is a game that easily could have just been a 17, 18, 19, 20 point. Like, when it got to like 13 or 15.
Yeah.
I think Ryan hits that 3 to put it back up there. Like, it could have easily just been like, all right, this is just it. Right. And you just kind of fold and crumble. So shouts to the guys for continuing to kind of fight through it. I mean, it's frustrating that even if the turnovers and all that kind of happen, if we shoot the way that we typically shoot as a team, like in conference, we're like a 40% 3-point shooting team, basically. We come out tonight and shoot, what, 26?
Yeah, Roach had one that was, I mean, probably the best look he's had all year, right at the, you know, right wing, nobody within 5-10 feet of him, and he missed it. And I think McCain had 2 pretty clean looks there in the second half. So, I mean, you knock those down, again, different ball game.
Flip had almost all of his are pretty clean looks too, right? Just off those little pick and pops. You know, he shoots 1 for 6 from there. Tyrese doesn't even attempt a 3, which is kind of crazy. Foster only gets 1 up. We didn't shoot a ton. We shot 19. That should still be enough, you would think. I'd like to see us shoot a little bit more.
And I don't know if we mentioned this, but, you know, we only let RJ get 3 up. That's the least he's got up all season. I think he's averaging like 5 or 6 at minimum. So,
yeah, he's super high volume and accuracy. So that was, you know, Tyrese absolutely did his job on defense, I thought.
Yeah.
It's the other end that was the problem. You know, just I was watching back some of it in a kind of masochistic way right before we got on, and some of Tyrese's drives were just
not strong.
Weak. Yeah, just weak. You compare them to like Roach's drives or McCain's drives. McCain has some really strong drives in this game, I thought. Yeah. But it's just like, there was that one, it was just a couple minutes into the game where I don't even know what he was doing, but he's like going down the left side, and with his right hand, he throws up this like 8-foot floater on the baseline, basically. And it was like a complete air ball. And then there was another one where he just got blocked by 2 guys. You know, he's basically falling over as he takes the shot. Yeah, just not physical enough.
Yeah, I mean, let's just, well, I think we should just talk about the sophomores in general, maybe give them their own little segment here. But first, let's take a quick break, and then we'll kind of recap the second half and the play of the sophomores.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, well, let's talk about the sophomores. I kind of wanted to just highlight them a little bit in general. They've gotten a lot of talk on the board, on Twitter, on everywhere else here. I don't know where y'all want to start. I guess we'll kind of start maybe at the good and get closer to the bad. Flip, 22 points, 8-11 shooting. We mentioned the 1-for-6 from three is not great. 3-of-5 from the line, it's, you know, maybe he's just a 60% free throw shooter now. I don't know. That's been kind of weird. What grade would you give Flip in this game? Should I'll go to you here. If you were having to grade him out, where would you put him? Tough question.
Probably a B.
Okay.
A B on this one.
Okay. For what? Why? Why would you? What's the rationale?
I mean, look, he got 22. What was the shooting? What'd you say it was?
I think 9 of 17.
9 of 17 overall. Yeah.
9 of 17. 1 of 6 from three. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was bad defense. I think Bacot hit a couple shots there. I know he banked one in.
That bank shot was absurd.
Yeah.
That was towards the end of the first half, like when they pushed the lead back out. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think he played, you know, Tara wasn't like he was just coughing the ball up. Only had, what, two turnovers maybe?
Yep.
So, you know, all in all, I didn't think it was terrible. Just not the usual A-plus from Flip that I'd like to see.
Okay. Gru, what about you? Somewhere in the same or above or below?
I'll have to give him a C, you know, assuming we consider C like an average grade, right? Like it always, C feels worse than that. Like, but yeah, just because I thought that the offense was fine. And for me, the defense, a lot of it came down to the rebounding. You should be getting 10 or 11 boards in that scenario. You know, you're our only big out there. But yeah, so I would say C.
Okay. Okay. I'm about somewhere in between y'all. I thought he played fine. I thought the only thing that I was hoping for was that he would just be a bit more just of the aggressor from a physical standpoint. He has 4 fouls. What Bacot play? Bacot plays 36 minutes and has 2 fouls for a guy that is kind of prone to fouling if you put him in those positions. I don't know, man. There was just a lot. And it wasn't just flip. It was, we didn't shoot many free throws at all. I don't even think it was so much of the officiating. I think it goes back to what you're saying. Tyrese had some pretty weak drives, right? Like Flip had some pretty like trying to avoid contact. We got a lot of guys that try to do that a lot, right? They try to avoid the contact versus trying to play through it.
I thought Roach got clipped a couple times going through that didn't have anything called, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. He pretty much said that too, right? If he was like, oh, I guess they just didn't see it because we were getting set. But that's always the case, right? You're sure. Always gonna have some level of contact there. But that was pretty frustrating to lose that matchup that badly. Cause all of us pretty much sat here and said that like if Baycott's guarding Flip, that should be advantage Duke, and it was just not. Tough night. Well, let's just go ahead and talk about it. I was gonna do it later. Let's talk about the too small thing. What did y'all make of that? Like, so one, it's kind of weak to do that on like a layup, right? Of like, hey, I'm playing a guy that's like the same size as me and I'm turning around and doing a layup and then gets hit with the too small. The entire team got on it and started doing this like stomp on the floor. This isn't the first time we've kind of gotten punked and bullied like that. You concerned that's a trend? Ro, I'll go to you with the first one, this one.
Well, like I was joking to you guys before we started recording, like if you're doing that to a guy who's like actually taller than you, which what Flip has 2 inches on Baycott, right?
Probably some, at least, right?
Yeah. Probably about equal weight. I feel like you need to add some additional word in there, like too emotionally small or something like that, because that's what it really is, right? It's like you're not tough enough. I think that's really what it was about, right? Like,
sure.
No. Not actual physical size.
Yeah. Should have hit him with the too young. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Come back.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
a really good point. I was gonna bring that up about the age gap between these two teams and how much that plays into things. Like, yes, we have returning experience, but they're all sophomores. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shoot, what'd you make of that? It's been a trend, right? Henson's up on our scores board. I couldn't even tell you the last time that happened. He's chanting to the crowd, mocking the crowd. Their entire bench is doing the too small. You starting to take this personal yet?
I mean, look, if you don't want them doing it, you got to stop them from doing it.
Amen.
You
know? That's it, right?
Proctor like, hits you with the three goggles after it. You know, if that's what our guys are going to do, then that's what they should be able to do. And, you know, it's just like the whole horns down thing. Like, you don't want them to do it, then stop them from doing it.
And it seems to like a lot of this gets directed towards Flip, too. And I think that's where it's nice to have sort of a bruiser on your roster, someone that can come in and just maybe pick up kind of a, not even want to hurt nobody, right? But kind of just a little bit of like, hey, I got your back. That's exactly who I was going to say. A little Theo John to just come in and be like, nah, bro, like,
I'm not the one.
We're going to push back, right?
I'm not the one. That's what he told dude from Kentucky, like, nah, bro, I'm not the one.
Yeah, I'm not your guy. we don't have that. Right. Like we don't have anyone that's kind of coming in and doing that level of aggression, I guess, physicality, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see next year because we got some guys that are not going to allow that, I don't think.
We got one for sure.
Yeah. In Flag. But even Evans to an extent. I think.
Yeah. He's got some of that MF for kind of in him too. Right. Flag's definitely got that sort of like. We're going to back it up and we're going to not.
Yeah.
That's really why I wanted VJ too. He's a guy that's like that in that mold.
And you got to back it up with actual kind of physical play too.
For sure.
I think the chirping isn't enough, you know, because our team talks a lot. And so, of course, that's why we're getting it back, right? We started the season, what we're preseason number 2 or 3, depending on the poll. Yep. You know, we got a lot of hype around us. We got a lot of players like Proctor and Roach and.
Even McCain, right? A lot of chirping.
Like to talk, right? So, of course, that's, and then we're Duke. So, of course, that's going to, all that put together is going to engender some hate.
Yeah. It sucks watching it and not having anyone match Ingram's just energy level, right? Yeah. Like, not, and that's something that, like, and I don't think this is a K versus John thing. It's going to sound like that because John only has a year and a half under his belt. So, I have 40 some years to pull from K. But we've typically had a lot of guys that were just sort of like that style, right? That could come in, set a tone. We got one on the bench. and Sewell, right? That he was like, I'm not that dude either, bro. Like, we've had a lot of guys like that.
I thought you were talking about a player. I was like, who?
Oh, yeah.
TJ Power.
Yeah. It's shoot, bro. yeah. You know, so we just didn't quite, we couldn't match it. We just couldn't match it. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about Mark Mitchell. To me, and I saw where he was getting a lot of flack too. I think the only criticism I would have is just be a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I thought in his role, he was fine. He has 11 points on what, five shots?
Five or six.
Yeah. So seven rebounds, which is not terrible. That's fine. I would have liked to see him kind of really get into that space, really diving hard, because that he could have put pressure on Bacot to pick up some fouls too, right? So for Flip and Marg to only make Bacot foul twice is, and I don't even know if they fouled them on either one of those. So it's, that's not great. These were just the three, and we can talk about Proctor too, but these three guys are the ones that are really the makeup of the team, right? They're the returners. They're coming back. All three of them have NBA aspirations. Needed a little bit more, I guess. Yeah. Right. Needed a little bit more.
Besides this. Roach, obviously, is another key component, but you kind of know what you're going to get from Roach at this
point.
And
he was great.
Yeah.
Tonight, right. Like, he was great. Did his job, you know, did his job.
I mean, that comes back to my point about experience, right? Like, I just have complete faith in Roach to show up in a game like this at this point. And Carolina is number six in the entire country in experience overall. And what we're probably down like the 200s, I'm guessing. Maybe
210.
Yeah. So
210.
There you go. Watching back and seeing some of those Roach first half highlights, especially, it's just like, man, what I wouldn't give to just have a whole team of guys like that, which is essentially what Carolina has.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yep. They've pieced it together through the portal and they've got a great roster. We got to talk about the last one here. We've praised this defense, and I recognize that takes a lot of energy to be chasing RJ around and doing all of that, but 2 points, six total shots. Need a bit more from Tyrese there, right? Especially coming off the stretch that he had just came off of, where it seemed like he was healthy. It seemed like he was really finding his thing. He had the swagger back. He had the confidence back. I didn't see that version of Tyrese at all last night. I mean, did I miss something on offense that we were just weren't doing? Like, do you think they were just doing something defensively that he didn't even take a single three? Is it just the style of play and just the lack of like strength? I don't know. What did you make from Tyrese? To me, I was pretty disappointed in that. If we need a little bit more from a captain returning point guard.
Yeah, I think you guys hit it on it earlier. I think if anything, the couple of drives that he did make, you got to be stronger, a little bit more decisive. I know Bacot, one of them, I think it was a drawn up play. He came down the lane left handed, kind of pivoted, like pump fake and pivoted, but Bacot didn't fight for it. And, you know, he spun around, and I don't remember if he shot that one or passed it. Either way, I know it didn't result in anything.
That could have been the wild shot I was talking about. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, well, he had the other one that Ingram spiked back at him. And then he had the scoop that Josh was pointing out earlier. Yeah, just some, I think he had maybe one of his pull-ups, mid-range pull-ups, and he just didn't make it. That's what I want to see him get back to. Get you one or two of those, then get them to come out and respect you, and then go by them and get to the lane, you know, get to the rim. But to not shoot a three, not even get one up, that was kind of odd when I look back in the box score to see
that's
that.
Tough, right? I mean, he has the, like, by far
he's the got
worst
the height on bias. These guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's 6'5", right? You're playing 2 6-foot guards, barely 6-foot guards. It's like, ow. I don't know. I don't know, man. Maybe it was just not a good game. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much you want to read into the trend of, like, how he plays versus, like, top 50 KenPom teams. Versus,
that was the point I made on Twitter, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a very tiny sample when you get right down to it.
It is.
So maybe it is nothing, but I just wonder if some of those like finesse shots he tries to do near the rim, just they work better against less talented teams.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess I just thought this would be a game where he would be able to either beat their guards, or if he gets switched on Cormac, or if he gets caught in a ball screen switch with Bacot, like I know Kai's called Bay Cutter Rim Protector. I think that's a bit of a stretch. Now, if you want to say just from being able to like limit second chance points and be a big body there, then sure.
He's not a shot blocker.
He didn't have any blocks that game. He only had 3 blocks total, right? Yeah. So it's like that wasn't a factor. We just weren't finishing. Yeah. We just weren't finishing. We weren't strong enough there. And shouts to John too, right? He kind of called that out of like, look, we just didn't compete at the level that we need to compete at. I don't want to talk about this game too much more here, but at a certain point we're in the season here, like we can't keep looking for motivators, right? Like if you can't bring it for this game, then there's not another one on the schedule that's going to make you bring it, right? Like this is that game. That part sucked. But again, I think we should round it out here. Maybe this is kind of, you know, head in the clouds a little bit, but all of that said, we lost by 9 in a game where Baker has a career night. Ingram has a career night. RJ was limited, but still semi-effective at times in doing what he's doing. Meanwhile, we had Proctor's arguably worst game in a long time. Not a lot from Caleb, you know, really nothing right. from our bench, bench in yeah, general. Bench. I don't know. I think there's reasons to think like, hey, we clean up one or two things here and we're even with this. There's not this massive gap between the two teams.
Their bench didn't give them a lot. I think Trimble gave them 10, and those were mostly the transition layups. I know he got one, caught the ball on the wing, kind of pump faked a three and got in for a layup.
He got Roach on one or two out there. I was like, man, yeah. Roach, you can't let this dude do that
yeah.
to you. But
yeah, you got to stay on the floor on that one. But
yeah, I mean, in addition to what you mentioned, there's obviously like clean up the turnovers, and then you would expect the free throw discrepancy to be a little bit more even to in our favor perhaps in Cameron. So you look at those two factors and that alone could do it.
Yeah. I mean, because at this point, I don't know what the defensive ceiling really is. We don't have the size to really just kind of lock down the rim like we did last year. And I don't think you have to do it that way. But if you're going to give up 57% from 2-point range and only force, 3 turnovers, like something has to change there, right? If you're going to play smaller, you got to maybe try to press, trap strategically, try to get into the passing lanes or something. I mean, Proctor's long, McCain can jump the lane. Foster's a guy that I feel like should be able to do that. We haven't really seen that a whole lot from him. I don't know. Maybe you can try to force a few more on that end, but
I still think we can be a top 30 defense. Like I know, what is it now? Like closer to 40, I'm guessing.
Let's see. It's 38.
38. Right, okay.
And
so,
it keeps slipping too, right? Like it keeps trending out.
That is the problem. But I think when you take into consideration like all the injuries and stuff like that, and I know we are completely healthy last night, but let's just put last night's game aside for a minute. I think if you looked at the games when we were actually completely healthy, the defense in those games has been pretty solid for the most part. So the hope, I guess, would be like, okay, we have our full roster back now. We can kind of get some rhythm or continuity going and then, you know, just make improvements around the margins and just get up into that kind of like 25 range.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting miracles. The other thing is you just would hope that the offense would not be 10th. I know that sounds like a weird complaint because 10th is still really good, but like this team, this is the best shooting team we've had in 10 years. This should be the number 1, 2, number 3 offense in the country. And at that point, you just don't have as much concern about the defense. You can win some games 85 to 81 or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. And maybe that is the trick is fix the offense a little bit, right? You can't have... Anytime you have that many wild ball turnovers, you're asking a lot on your defense. Anytime Flip's getting in foul trouble and you're asking Ryan Young to come in and be your only option back there, you're not helping yourself.
And we just didn't, you know, we've seen games this year. We've had 18, 19 assists. We had, 8 assists?
Was bad. Yep. Yeah. That was the bad.
Meanwhile, they have an 18-5 assist to turnover ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a negative one.
We just, you know, run better stuff, get some. I did like, I don't know if we talked about it off air. We did run a little curl for McCain. He got a layup off of that. I was like, okay, I haven't seen us run something like that for McCain. You know,
maybe our halftime adjustments on offense were fine. I thought we kind of struggled a little bit in that first half to end it. And I thought their defense was just really, really good in the first half. The second half, though, we were scoring with those boys. I mean, we put up plenty of points. I mean, that was right. And if that's the fourth best defense, then it's like, okay, we can clearly score.
Yeah.
We just got to find a way to get some stops and not turn the ball over. And again, 11's not that many, but it just, they all seem to kill us. They all seem to kill us.
Yeah. I think the more stuff we run for our guards, the better. I really don't want to beat that dead horse, but McCain's getting up 7 3-pointers per 40 minutes. I think that needs to go up to like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And he should be coming off screens more often. I love that one of our pet plays where we run a Roach into the middle of the lane. He gets that that mid-range shot off of it. Just stuff like that I'd like to see more of.
Yeah, we were running those wide pin downs for him and early in the game. And yeah, he was, that was almost, I mean, RJ was contesting a few of them, but I mean, RJ's not big either. So
yeah,
I think he can get to that a lot next game as well.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Carolina's good, right? They're good. And maybe we're not quite as good as we kind of thought or hoped, or I think our ceiling is still higher if we can hit it. But they got a bunch of old guys. They got a bunch of guys that know their role. A lot of these guys were swept last year that were preseason one and missed the tournament. So when you miss the tournament at a blue blood program, there's going to be some motivation to come back with that, right? And they're clicking. They were clicking last night. And I think you just kind of tip the cap and say, look, we got what, 1, 2, 8, or 9 more games until we see you again. And you just hope for a different result there. I don't think it really says too much about our team long term. Do y'all?
No, I think we talked about it offline. I mean, the second game is the one that's the more the indicator of the March success. That's, you know,
typically whoever wins that second one goes further, I think, right? And it might have changed, I think, in maybe the last few years or so, Raul, but I know for a long time that we've been like talking about this stuff. It was like a pretty clear indicator. Whoever wins the second one tends to do better in the tournament.
I think pretty much every season this century, with like two exceptions, maybe. I know that obviously 2014 would be an exception, but I can't even think of the other one. I think there's like one other. So yeah, it's been pretty telling. Because I think it just says something about which team improved more throughout the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Typically that's, you're right. I'm going back and just kind of glancing and looking at it now, right? Like 16, they win the second one. 17, they win the second one. 15, we win the second one. 14's that weird kind of outlier there, I guess. But yeah, so I guess you just chalk it up, right? You get back to the drawing board. You try to summon up some toughness. You try to summon up some clips, some motivators here for the guys. I will say that it's kind of nice coming off this, that you get like 2 or 3 days to regroup, and then you get I don't want to jinx this kid. You get a pretty bad Notre Dame team coming into Cameron, right? I mean, this team has lost, what, 6 straight? 6 straight. They've lost 8 out of their last 9. You got to handle it, right? You just got to handle this team.
They did play us pretty tough on the road there.
They did. They did. That was, an 8-point win for us, or a 7-point win for us?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to buck it up just like last time.
I think our offense is significantly better now than it was then. And then, of course, being at home, you would hope it'd be more like a 15, 17-point win.
Yeah.
KenPom has a pretty wide spread on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 75, 57. And their defense is, like, really good. Like, they have a really crazy split here. They are 310th offensively, but a top 45 defense. Like, that's kind of crazy, but like they are just really bad offensively.
And they played a really slow pace too. So that's where you consistently lose games by like 7 to 10 points. So they're not necessarily like getting the doors blown off them because their defense is good enough, but they don't have enough offense to consistently win.
Yeah. Like all of these games that they've lost, like the highest one was like 12, right? It's like 9, 7, 12, 8, right. 6. Like that's 3, you know, that's kind of their MO there. I don't think we need to cover this too much, as we've already played this team. We've already done a preview on this team. Tip set for 9 p.m. on Wednesday. I guess the only thing we kind of can toss around here is, we'll just do like one thing for each person here. What's one thing you're looking for coming out Wednesday night, other than just a win?
Oh, well, the first thing I'll say is this is the last 9 p.m. game we have all season. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to. Other than the win, let's get back to rebounding the ball and taking care of it.
Okay. Rebound, take, not turn the ball over. All right, yep. Roel, what about you? One thing you're looking for?
I'll actually pick two. I'll cheat a little bit. I want to see Flip make two threes. I want to see us hold them to under 65. I know they don't score a lot, so that's not that ambitious.
Yeah. For me, I think it's just I want to see just guys flying around, right? I just want to see the energy just kind of maxed out for a game that it's probably not necessary for, but just kind of like, hey, message received, right? Like, we're going to pick this up a little bit. We're going to blitz some of these passing lanes. We're not going to let guys just shoot over the top of us. We're going to help down in the post a little bit. We didn't do that very well against Carolina. McCain tried to a little bit, but it was just kind of like a little, I'm just showing you something, right? And like, I'd rather that be Mark helping down to where when you see Mark there, you're like, oh, okay, maybe I should pass this out. You see McCain there. It's like, yeah, I'm just going over that, bro. Like, I'm shooting over that. So yeah, just the effort level to just kind of pick back up to start another win streak here. You know, you get Notre Dame at home, you get Boston College at home, you got Wake at home. Now Wake's pretty good. Yeah. But you get a 3-game stretch there. You really, this team has struggled to kind of send that message at home, right? Like Georgia Tech was really close at home. Pittsburgh beat us at home. You know, Clemson, we win by one on some like kind of crazy ending stuff there. It would be nice to start February off with just a nice clean home slate, just take care of these next three, and then you're just right back in the thick of it, right? You win these three, you're sitting at 10-3 in conference. KenPom now has us projected to finish 14-6. I still think 15-5 is on the table for this group if they figure some things out.
Yeah, but the stretch after those three games is pretty tough. So oh, yeah. I think I think it's very important to win these three. Yeah, just to kind of give ourselves a little bit of margin for error.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, and we'll save that a little bit. But yeah, after this, you get three at home, and then you get three straight on the road.
I'm not optimistic about like going to Miami, for example. I know they're not good, but that you know, Larinaga's ball screen offense scares me.
Especially when you follow that up with at Wake, yeah, too, right? Like that those are going to be that's going to be a little bit of a gauntlet there. So, buckle up, folks. You know, it's getting into it. I see Shoes already dropped out, so he's done. You know, he's done. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and get out of here then. So in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. You can find us in all the usual and unusual places. You can find us on X/Twitter at DevilsDenPod247. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. We're on the boards at thedevilsden.com. But we'll wipe this one off and come back strong. So keep the faces strong and the verb high. Go do.
Of course, we went like almost in that heart.